This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And this is why I'm saying that if you are giving da'wah or you come across people that claim to be atheists, speak to their fitrah. It's there. It exists. And try it and you'll see. Inshallah ta'ala. Talk to them about the times, because a lot of people try to mask their fitrah with whatever, with intoxicants, with different forms of entertainment, to the end of it. Or some people may even do positive things just to keep themselves busy so that they don't think, because their soul is crying out for something. So if you talk to someone and you tell them, well, what about those times when you're alone by yourself and the TV isn't on and you're trying to fall asleep at night and you're laying there alone and you're thinking, you know that there is a creator. That part doesn't change. Even Fir'aun, who was probably one of the most evil people to walk the face of the earth, and he said, "Wa ana rabbukumul a'la." I am your Lord, the Most High. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him and his people, "Wajahadu biha, wastayqanatha anfusuhum." Al-jahat, which I think is normally translated as rejection, that they rejected the kalima of la ilaha illallah, staqanatha anfusuhum, that inside of themselves, not only did they know, istayqan, they had yaqeen, certainty about la ilaha illallah. They had certainty, even Fir'aun and his people. Al-jahd in the Arabic language, which, like I said, is normally translated as reject, it means at-taghtiyah, it means to cover it up. So it's not that a person actually does not believe, but it's that they are covering up that belief. That is one part of the fitrah that doesn't change. There is another type of fitrah that the scholars refer to. It's actually referred to in the Quran as well. Referred to in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Khalaqtu ibadi hunafa." I have created my servants hunafa. Hunafa is the plural of hanif. And a hanif is the person who is inclined towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rejects everything else or all other deities. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He created His servants hunafa fajtalathumu shayateen. But the devils came and turned them away. The devils came and turned them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hanif indicates that one is turning to Allah in worship. Okay? Not just that they know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So this is a different type of fitrah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did create every human being upon that. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitrah." That every child that is born upon the fitrah. And then his parents, yuhawidanihi wa yunassiranihi wa yumajjisanihi. And his parents come and they turn him into a Christian or a Jew or make him be from the Majus. So this is a different type of, or this is the second type of fitrah. The first one is the knowledge of Allah and knowing that He is one. That doesn't change in any human. And then there's the second one, and that is to intend to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And that may change depending on a person's circumstances. And the fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instilled in every human being, it coincides directly with the purpose of creation. And that is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him. The scholars say, "Fi al-dhariyat khalaqa liya'budun wa fi al-talaq khalaqa liya'lamun." Who knows what that means? I know there's tulab al-ilm here. I do. I saw some of them. "Fi al-dhariyat," yalla Muhammad. "Fi al-dhariyat," you're on the spot now. "فِي الذَّارِيَاتِ خَلَقَ لِيَعْبُدُونَ." وفي الطلاق خلق ليعلمون. What's that mean? That's a good answer. The scholars say that in Surah Al-Dhariyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that He created mankind for the purpose of worship. And in Talaq, He mentions that He created for the purpose of knowledge. So, in Talaq, in Surah Al-Talaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu الذي خلق سبع سماوات ومن الأرض مثلهن يتنزل الأمر بينهن لتعلموا أن الله على كل شيء قدير وأن الله قد أحاط بكل شيء علما. Allah is the one who created the seven heavens and the likes of it from the earth. يتنزل الأمر بينهن, His command descends between them or among them. لتعلموا, so that you know that Allah is able to do all things and that His knowledge encompasses everything. And in Surah Al-Dhariyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, and I have not created jinn and mankind except that they worship. So, subhanAllah, Allah created mankind and He put in him this natural inclination, made it innate in mankind to want to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He created them for that purpose of worshiping Him alone. Now, this ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for, did He leave it to each and every human, each and every human being, male and female, to determine how that worship is to be performed? No. He didn't leave it to every individual to determine what they feel is best for them in terms of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sent His messengers to convey what it is that He wanted mankind to do. And He sent them and He said that إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرٌ, like He said to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you are only but a reminder. Yani you remind people of their duty to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He created us, He sustains us, and He gave us that natural inclination, and then He tests you to see which of you is best in His worship. And so the sharia that we talked about in the beginning, that many people amongst our people believe is just a penal code, that if you do this, then this is going to happen to you. And if you steal, then this is going to happen to you. And if you commit zina, then this is the punishment for that. The sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually what He sent His messengers with in order that those whom He created worships Him in the manner that He legislated. So the sharia is all-encompassing. And from a linguistic perspective, it simply means a madhab or a tariqa al-mustaqima, a straight path. And a lot of times it is used for a path that leads to water. So they say shir'atul ma. It is a path that opens up, that leads towards water. And some scholars say that the term sharia was used for that particular reason, because just as water is essential for life of the human being, yani physical life, the sharia is essential for spiritual life of every human being. The scholars have many different definitions that they've given for sharia. I'm not going to go into too many of those definitions, but the most comprehensive of them is كُلُّ مَا سَنَّهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي كِتَابِهِ أَوْ بِوَاسِطَةِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So the sharia is everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated in His book or via the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the kitab, He says in the Quran, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاكَ عَلَى شَرِيعَةٍ من الأمر فاتبعها. الإمام السعدي رحمه الله تعالى, the great scholar of tafsir, he says, and the translation of this ayah is, then we made you upon a sharia. We placed you, or we put you upon a sharia. Talking to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, so follow it. So follow it. Follow that sharia. السعدي رحمه الله تعالى, he says, أي ثم شرعنا لك شريعة كاملة تدعو إلى كل خير وتنهى عن كل شر. Says that, meaning that we have legislated for you a complete sharia that invites to all that is good and prohibits all that is evil. فاتبعها, so follow it. فَإِنَّ فِي اتِّبَاعِهَا السَّعَادَةَ الْأَبَدِيَّةِ وَالصَّلَاحَ وَالْفَلَاحِ. So follow it. Because indeed in following it, you will find eternal bliss and you will find happiness and true success. So the sharia, it encompasses your beliefs, your belief system. It encompasses all the devotional or ritual acts of worship, dietary laws, ethics and conduct, interpersonal relationships, whether that is marriage, child custody, divorce, international relationships, politics, economics, finance. All of that comes under the branch of sharia, or all of that comes under the umbrella of sharia. طيب. So, we go back to that initial question. When your coworker comes to you, or your neighbor, or one of your non-Muslim relatives, and they say, you're a Muslim, right? And your answer is, yes. And then they say, well, what is the sharia? Because it's all over the news. What is your answer? Fadl. It's your lifestyle. Tayyib, anybody else? Huh? It is Islam. Tayyib. Yeah. Again, Ahi? Somebody want to... Things that govern Islam? I wouldn't exactly say that. But I think maybe what you're trying to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, is that it is everything that Islam encompasses, from beliefs and actions. All of that is the sharia. So to limit it to a specific thing, like the penal code of Islam, is injustice. It's totally unjust. It's like saying that if someone is to ask you, what's American law? And you say, well, if you jaywalk, you go to, what's the penalty for jaywalking these days? Ticket? All right. Or if you jaywalk, you have to pay $50. That's American law. And that's curtains. That is a very insignificant or minuscule part of what it is. The sharia is all of Islam. It is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated in his book, or that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. And it's built upon five essential principles. And I'm not talking about the pillars of Islam. I'm talking about the maqasid of Islam, the objectives that Islam encompasses. And inshallah ta'ala, you should try to write them down and perhaps memorize them. These objectives have been deduced by the scholars over centuries. And one of the first ones to mention them, all five of them together, was Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah. And then after him, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim, before them, Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam and others, that talked about the maqasid of Islam. What Islam has come to preserve, if you will. All right?